as we continue to walk this journey of being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. This beautiful journey where you hold our hand and you lead us in this wilderness. But Lord, we know exactly where we are going. To enter into the rest. To enter the land that you have prepared for us. The builder and the maker of all our lives, all of our past, all of our present, and all of our future. Lord, we pray, may you bless us, Lord, to surrender and to offer unto thee as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, to glorify the name of the Lord, our Savior, our Master, who covered all of us on Calvary, on whom all our iniquities were laid, the true friend who carried our shame, who carried all of us in your heart, and you endured the pain for the joy that was set before you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, we pray, may you fill every one of us today with your peace, with your joy. Because, oh Lord, you have given us the victory. There is nothing to complain about. There is nothing to worry about. Because the Lord who is mighty in battle, he has never ever lost a battle. The Lord who give all of us the victory by the blood of Christ, by the Comforter. Lord, we pray, may you touch all of us today. Sanctify the temple of God. Consecrate the priests of God, the servants of God, the children of God, your seeds, O Lord. May you speak to us today as we humbly bow our heads, our hearts, before thy word, the word of life. May you speak to us today. Purge us, Lord. Clean us. Wash us. Encourage us, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. You are the only one who can bring a smile from deep within. Our lips can smile by the people of the world, but the bottom heart, our deep intents, oh Lord, you can bring a smile, the joy, the inner peace. Only you can do it, Lord. Lord, I pray, may you today touch all of us. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal those who are struggling with the physical sickness. Heal those who are fighting the battle in their minds. Whatever, oh Lord, depression, sickness, Lord, we pray. You are the Lord who restore your children. You are the Lord who encourage your children. You are the Lord who make all of us to feel the happiness, the blessedness, because it is well in our life. Everything that happens, oh Lord, it is well. Lord, we pray, may you bless us today to please you. May you bless us today to glorify your name. We surrender the church, we surrender the congregation, and we bless the name of the Lord for all those brethren who are joining us from overseas. But Lord, right now, we are all seated in the heavenly places as one family of God, under one shelter, and inside one single house, covered by the blood of the Lord. And Lord, standing on the foundation of God. Lord, we pray, may you clothe all of us in your righteousness. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my brethren. You may be all seated. Praise the Lord for the wonderful worship. I was moved in my heart to sing the song, He Hideth My Soul. Thank the Lord. The Lord always moves us in one spirit. Brother Paul sang exactly the same song which I wanted to sing. Truly, if the Lord did not hide your soul, if the Lord did not cover you, we are nothing but a sheep wandering in a forest where there are a lot of beasts and we are vulnerable, exposed to any attack. For any beast to come and take us away, for isolation is one step closer to be eaten by the beast, to be devoured by the beast. But the Lord, the good shepherd, as we meditated last Sunday, shepherd leads the flock. Amen. Do you know, when a shepherd leads the flock, he always holds a rod in his hand. If you look at the pictures of the old times, a big rod in his hand. That rod is not for him to support his legs or his body. He's not that weak. Good shepherd, mighty in battle. If that sheep that is walking just behind him, if it thinks, yes, I'm closer to the Lord, I'm closer to the shepherd. If a beast comes from the right, my shepherd knows, he will hit with a rod. If the beast comes from the left, my shepherd knows, he will hit the beast with a rod. So I am safe, I am shielded, I feel so safe because I am close to the Lord. But what about the last sheep? Imagine the shepherd is leading the flock to climb a hill, a very narrow path. So all the sheep must line behind one by one. If there are 100 sheep, the protection that was given to the first sheep in the line is the same for the last sheep. Even so, must be more for the last sheep. But the truth is, according to the sight of the Lord, when He returns, He will see one bride, not 100 flocks one by one, but one single bride beautifully following, walking closely, humbly, bowing the heads, bowing the heart before the groom, the Lord. So, the reason the beast or the enemies or even those who want to come and steal the sheep, they would not even dare to touch the last sheep as long as the last sheep keep the eye fixed on the shepherd and keep walking. The beast can only walk behind slowly, waiting for a single chance for the last sheep to feel, why there is no one behind me, why I feel alone. If you turn to your right, you lose the focus. If you turn to the left, you lose the focus. And the beast is waiting for that single chance. But that beast knows, if I touch the last sheep from the back, although the last sheep is focusing on the shepherd, that beast is gone. Because the rod of the shepherd comforts the children and chastens the children, prunes the children, purges the children, but destroy everything else that comes against God's children. So we are always shielded. We are always protected. Sometimes we feel, Lord, I feel very weak. You may feel that, no, you are rolling behind. But no. To God, you are part of the Word, part of the body of Christ. There is no sequence. There is no hierarchy. There is no partiality. Because God Himself said, partiality is sin. He sees all of us, apple of my eye, apple of my eye, apple of my eye, my child, mine, mine. The ownership, the accountability the Lord has showed to all of us. He wants us to have the same confidence in Him. We all felt in our lives, when you have extreme problems, extremely noisy storms, your sails are broken, your ship is broken, you could see that you're struggling to sail through your life. You may feel, Lord, forgive me. I drifted far away and I feel I'm lost. I'm not listening to your voice. I feel that I cannot see you. It's also part of the growth. Don't you know, without your mistakes, you would have never learned how to seek the Lord. Without your repentance, you would have never known how to call on the name of the Lord. And for that reason, He will hide His face. Learn to call my name. Learn to seek me. I have given you the lamp unto thy feet. Study the word. Ask my Holy Ghost to come and teach you, to minister unto you, until you feel that I saw His face. I saw the light. He will let us to play hide-and-seek games. He will hide. He will hide until you find Him. The same way He hides your soul, He hides His face. And He knows when to hide His face. I would call it as spiritual fasting. You want to eat Him, you want to drink Him, He would go and hide. What would you say? Where is the manna? It's 10 o'clock. My food must be delivered on my plate right now. Where is my manna? What happened to the cloud? The Lord said, the Lord told Moses, we will get food on time. We are not in a prison cell where you will get food on the ring bell. The Lord who gave manna is the same Lord who will throw you into the land of hunger and thirst. But still, He feeds you. He feeds you even when you fast. Physically, spiritually, mentally. He feeds you. He feeds you strength. He feeds you humility. He feeds you faith. He feeds you long-suffering. He feeds you to learn how to be patient. Amen? If you eat, you gain strength. If you don't, you lose fat. Either way, the Lord benefits you. So when the Lord says in book of Ezekiel chapter 34, the very last verse, it says, the pasture, my flock, my children, my seeds, my saints, my servants, my priests are men. Whenever the Lord Himself proclaimed the word, the flock of my pasture are men, instantly, spiritually, you should bring two words. First man, last man, and the men of God, the children of God, the priests of God, ordained, separated, sanctified, consecrated, anointed, cleansed, washed, and the Spirit of the Lord resting upon our heads. For what? To serve Him. And He has only one purpose. To redeem His children. Everything else He can do it. So, the clothing of the service, the priestly garment, has another name, as I said last Sunday, clothing of service. A doctor can put on the doctor's clothing, can take all the tools. He has learned how to do all the treatment, surgery. But that doctor, can he go knock the door of another doctor's room? Are you a neurosurgeon? Yes. Okay. I am a vascular surgeon. So what? I want to perform surgery on you. When Jesus said, I came for the sick, the great physician, He said, I came for the sick. Amen? Are you the sick? We have another name. In the last sermon series, we meditated. The lame that was healed. Amen? The sick man, the sick woman who was healed by the healer. People who were struggling in captivity, delivered, redeemed. So whenever the Lord called us, my redeemed shall return unto Mount Zion, the Lord wants us to be reminded, your name is redeemed because you were in captive. Your name is the man who was healed because you were sick. The woman who was sick. The woman who was sick and the Lord healed her. So the woman was healed is my name. I saw the light because previously I was in darkness. Amen? So now, the Lord whom we serve, He started to clothe Aaron, separated him, set him apart from the congregation of Israel, so that he can perform some duties dedicated, specific, for the glory of the Lord. For what? For the Lord to feel, I am the Almighty. My Shekinah glory can only come down if Aaron and all these priests do this and that. My brethren, if there was no priest in that wilderness, people of Israel would have been consumed every single day. And there is no 40 years time frame. Within few days, Aaron and Moses would be standing alone in the wilderness. So I want you all to remember this. One single lame who was seated outside the beautiful gate of Solomon. Amen? Now, let's say this beautiful gate of Solomon is the river of Jordan and you must cross over to the promised land, Canaan. Amen? Now, that one single lame who was struggling because of his illness, could not stand, could not walk, he was asking for alms, you just put the children of Israel who were in captive for more than 400 years. And this certain man, he was lame for more than 40 years. Amen? No difference. So, let's assemble the entire multitude of Israel, more than 600,000 of people who were multiplied in the womb of Goshen. But that womb is not the promised land. Have you ever asked yourself, the land of Goshen was also compared to the land of honey and milk. Joseph prepared for it. he brought all his family, his father Jacob and his brethren, and he blessed them to stay in that beautiful land. You have honey, you have milk, then why another promised land? Why children of God who were in that Goshen, which was a beautiful, blessed land for them to have food in famine, they were enjoying only until Joseph was alive. Joseph died when he was 110 years old. Joshua died when he was 110 years old. Joseph brought all his family to the promised land before he died. Joshua brought the people of Israel, the multitude of Israel, before he died. Peter and John, they went to the temple together as one, and they saw the lame. Moses and Aaron, they went together to ask Pharaoh, release the children of God. Two, together as one. Peter and John, together as one. And the lame was asking for alms. People of Israel were asking for deliverance from captivity. The land of Goshen, which was filled with milk and honey, over the course of four generations, 430 years around there, it became a land of captivity. Because Goshen was not ruled by a king of Israel. It was ruled by king of Egypt. The Pharaoh who was alive during the time of Joseph, he was a blessed king, you know, because he could understand Joseph. He could love Joseph. He could help Joseph, because Joseph literally saved the entire nation from famine. So the king knew God is with him. For that reason, he had to bow himself to the work of God, because God needed Egypt to save the people of Israel. Whenever you think, my relative, my friend, my colleague, people whom I know, they don't know Christ, they follow some heathen religion, always tell yourself, God Almighty, whom you serve, he used Egypt as a safe haven for his children to come and to escape from the plague of famine, for them to eat and for them to find favor from King Pharaoh. Pharaoh showed favor to people of Israel who are God's children. So can you say all Pharaohs are evil people? Are you sure? Are you sure all the leaders of this nation, are they evil people? Who created Pharaoh? Every time someone hurts you, always ask yourself, who created this man, this woman, this brother, this sister, this minister, this supervisor, this auntie, this uncle, whatever it is? Ask yourself, who created them? Who? God. So, you show love, grace, mercy, hold your peace for the Creator who is behind them. Whenever we go for a war against creation, do not forget, no matter whoever they are, there is a Creator behind them. You never know the future. They have not finished their life yet. The 11 apostles, after Judas, he turned from the apostleship that was reserved for him, it was given to someone, and that someone was also killed. When the apostles heard, oh, our deacon, the elder whom we appointed, the faithful man whom we appointed, Stephen, was not an apostle. But when they heard he was killed in a tragic manner, don't they have the power to bring down the fire from heaven to destroy all those who stoned Stephen to death? When prophet Elijah was cornered, every single prophet who went against him were eliminated. Even the woman who went against him was eliminated. Even the king who was influenced by that woman was also eliminated, removed, destroyed. King Ahab and Jezebel and all those prophets of Balaam, whoever is this, God made them to disappear as if there was no trace. They existed. But in the New Testament, if the apostles thought, one of our own was killed, let's go. Together, we call on the name of the Lord to destroy all the flesh in this world who are against God and God's children. If they say, they'll be the only one standing on that ground. Grace defines the manifestation of salvation in every single soul God created. You are not the gracious Lord. He is the gracious Lord. We are the one who obtained grace. Remember, grace bound to time of our life. You are like the Ark of Noah. Your soul is inside. Your spirit is inside. And God just throw you into the ocean. And you are sailing. Flood or storm or whatever. You are moving. And as you move, either you grow stronger or grow weaker. You grow faithful or you grow unfaithful. Even you don't even know how you would be tomorrow. Today you are happy. Praise the Lord. Today you love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today you want to serve the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But tomorrow, do you have the assurance in yourself that you will be the same tomorrow? You don't have any assurance of yourself. You can't even understand how the blood are flowing inside. You don't even tell which direction my veins are carrying the blood. That is how weak we are. I don't even have control over my own body. I don't even have my control over my own mind when I'm sleeping. The Lord has blessed us to understand, hide behind me. Let me hide you in my wings. So now, today, by God's grace, I want all of us to remember this. I requested this, I asked this, and I ask this again. Every Sunday, whatever the Bible verse that we read, you have to read the entire chapter. If you don't feel peace, read the chapter before. Read the chapter after. Get the full context. Because the Master wants to speak with you. The Holy Ghost wants to commune with you. You know, when I was in college, I studied in a hostel. The way the Lord blessed me to study or to perform in my exams, I have this tendency, I listen to the professors when they teach. I always sit in the last bench with my friends. I listen to the class very focused. Then I go to hostel and go and play with my friends. Whenever the friends from different hostel rooms, when they come and ask, I teach. So I listen in the class, then I teach my friends. There are things I don't know. When I teach, I say, oh, this I don't know. Then I go and learn. Then I can teach. Because they are my friends. I love my friends. Some of my friends, they had very difficulties to understand some very tough papers or subjects. So to help them, in order for them not to fail the exam, because they are all from very different family background, if they fail, they will betray the hard work and all the lifetime savings of their parents. Some people, they cry because you don't know whether you can pass the exam. So I do my best to be there for my friends. So in the name of teaching them, I learn more. So when I go for the exam, whenever there is a prayer gathering, I never miss a prayer gathering when I was in that ministry. If tomorrow is the exam, by God's grace, the brethren who are with us, we go to the prayers. Sometimes we stay overnight. Then we bring our clothes, we take bath, then we pack our bags and go to exam straight. There are people who used to mock at us. What is this? Jokers. They call us Hallelujah Gang. Mockers. Because I was one of them before. But what I learned by the grace of God is, when you stay sincere, truthful to Him, He will reveal yourself to you to tell you, you can do this, you cannot do this. You are supposed to do this, you are not supposed to do this. You can do this, but can you try? So, over and over again, we all made mistakes. Then we understood the Lord can speak to you. I am expecting this from you, and you know exactly you can do it, but don't hinder, don't linger. So, those who mocked the professors and all, by their very same hands, I received the gold medal, because I was the university gold medalist. Now, if I go and tell my friends and my parents, gold medalist, you know how hard I study. But you know what? That medal is worthless if that did not help me to be able to come here. And me coming here is worthless if I am not able to learn from the servant of God. That learning is worthless if I do not live that learning in my life. So, putting all this together, Your failures, glorify the name of the Lord. Your success, glorify the name of the Lord. Your life must glorify the name of the Lord. So what He wants from you? He just wants you to be reminded you are a priest of Him. You are consecrated for Him. You are separated for Him. You are separated for Him. Everything else, my brethren, when you do it with joyful heart, with confidence, with assurance, you will have some clarity in your mind that you would never experience before. Yes. Spending 4 days, 5 days, banging your head on the wall, preparing for the exam, you'll go and fail the exam. Singing songs unto the Lord, study well, happily, pay attention when you are called to pay attention, and be a living sacrifice to one another. When you do that, even in our normal life, you will see that fruit in your life. But you don't live your life for that. That is prosperity Christianity. What is prosperity for you? What is prosperity for me? What is the prosperity for God's children? Fulfillment of God's prophecy is the prosperity in your life. We are rich in His heavenly mercies. We are rich in His heavenly blessings. We are rich. The Lord says, that blessing is there. If you walk in this direction, you will find it. You will take it. But what do you do? No, I will be here. You come and give it to me. He is not a mailman. He is a treasure hunter. He will go and hide the treasure. He will ask us to go and find it. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it will be open. Ask and it shall be given. Amen? But that was, my brethren, it was always linked to ask the Holy Ghost and the Father in heaven. He will grant it to you. Correct? Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary, my brethren. The Lord called all of us, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? The more we pray, the church will be covered in love. The more we pray together, the church will be rooted in peace. The more we pray together, the church will be clothed in joy. A church that prays together stays together. One of the brothers said this beautiful word during the prayer last time. I was really blessed when I heard this. Prays together stays together, heals together, serve together, revive together, redeem together. Together, if Peter and John, they did not go to the beautiful gate, if they were not together, that lame would never be healed. Peter says, John, let's heal him. John says, are you crazy? Someone come and hit us. Don't save him. When there is a disagreement, then God is not there. The great physician will look for a seat in your chariot and you are busy in fighting. He wants to board the chariot and no space. He will say, okay, go. He will go. So, if Moses and Aaron, they did not go together to King Pharaoh, if they had no agreement, then whatever they say, it doesn't hold any value. See, one beautiful thing in book of Exodus that hide from our eyes is, it does not show the love of Aaron and Moses for the people of God. You go and read the chapter. There are very few places where Moses show his love, but that too only with God, not in front of the people. He went down, killed 3,000. He went up, he told the Lord, wrote my name out of your book. But the people do not know what he said, because he was already on the top of the mountain. Amen? People do not know. Let's say if Joshua come and tell people, hey, you know what? No, our leader, God's anointed, he went and interceded with the Lord and he said, blot my name out of the book for the people. Moses loves us. Imagine those family members who lost 3,000 people killed by Moses. They said, what? Moses interceding for me. You saw that. Are you sure? Moses loves me. You saw that. Are you sure? I could only see 3,000 dead bodies here. Ruthless leader. So rude. Correct? All the apostles of God, they had the same fate, same criticism. Because they had a clothing which people failed to see. There are times when we are all clothed in the same garment. For example, feet washing. Every one of us, we have the same garment. Wash one another's feet. Praise the Lord. Same garment. And there is one faithful true witness, witnessing the event. God bless you all. The Lord says, I bless you in Jesus' name. But we started the sermon. Joshua's garments were changed from filthy to some other garments. For what? Before he can judge Israel. Amen? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, he won't come in the same garment that he used for Calvary when he come and sit on the throne. He will come with a mighty garment. The moment you see, judge is here, you will feel you are dead. John saw the Lord in the Patmos Island. He saw his appearance. He fell on his face. He felt as if I'm dead. So the garments of our Lord and Savior makes us to understand what is the reason he's here. Jesus told the disciples and those people who were standing next to him, before Abraham was I. Amen? Everybody looking for stones. Kill this guy. Where is the stone? But before they took the stone, he was not there. He disappeared from them. When I say disappeared, he knows how to escape. He escaped because he can't waste the time. He has a job to do. He cannot waste the time. Now, let's bring all of this together. Every series from this particular blessed topic, garment, I want you all to always bring back part one, part two, because it's a thread that we are needing together as one family of God. Amen? It has a continuity. Doctor, healer, builder, maker, judge, prisoner, advocate, counsel, in all of this, last Sunday we noted that they have a specific tool on their hands that justifies the work of their hands. The people of Israel, David sing the song, consider the work of our hands, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Yes, amen? Ephesians 6 says, spirit of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, praise the Lord, amen, amen. Okay, my garment is only this shirt, this crown is a separate accessory, the spirit of truth is a separate tool, and feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, you know, it's not part of my garment, so let me take it away. And the scripture says, put on, tell me what the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God. Amen? If you drop the spirit of truth, the Lord says, you are naked. Come on, Lord, I have all everything. Breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, Lord, I have everything. Without the spirit of truth, you are naked. Okay, let me take the spirit. When you take the crown first, oh Lord, I'm a cloth now, put on the whole armor of God. You are naked. Oh, where is my crown? Oh, helmet of salvation. I take it. I put it. Then your breastplate falls. Lord, am I clothed? You are naked. Put on the whole armor of God. If those 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest, amen? If the high priest takes it away and put it on the table and comes to the holy chamber, the Lord would look at him. Where is your ID card? ID card. Oh, sorry, Lord. I forgot. I'll go and take my ID card. But it's not ID card. It's not something for you to open the door and enter in. When the Lord says, Aaron will have a rod, Aaron's rod, Aaron's clothing, whatever the Lord told him to carry, becomes the whole armor of God for that point of time. When Isaac climbing the mountain, he was called to carry something. Amen? If he dropped the woods along the way, he goes and standing near the altar where he will be killed. The Lord would say, why are you naked? Are you kidding me? I have all my clothing. Where is the wood? Wood? I thought it's just some accessory. The spirit of truth can be accessory. The Aaron's rod can be accessory. The iron rod the judge will bring can also be called as accessory. And the book of life that he will carry in his hand with all your names written, can we say, Lord, you just come with a garment. Just forget the book of life. Your name is there. Your name is there. Amen? So everything the Lord has called us, told us to do, it makes you to be the rightful, faithful, sincere servant of God at that point of time. I repeat, at that point of time. I'll give you a good example. Imagine Aaron has a gift of healing. And the Lord saw Miriam spoke against Moses. And the Lord said, you'll be leprous. 7 days, you'll be separated from the camp. Take your time. Get healed. The leprous skin. I told you, skin is the biggest organ in your body. The whole series of this sermon started from the skin. Amen? Naturally, it covers your body. It covers all your inner organs. So that skin becomes leprous, a sickness. So the Lord threw her out. So Aaron says, day one, day two, I can't be without my sister. I love her so much. I am filled with peace. I am filled with grace. I am filled with mercy. He goes out of the camp. He says, Miriam, I heal you in the name of the Lord. And the Lord will be watching. What he would say? Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm doing a surgery outside the camp, in the surgery theater. I told you to do the job here. Did I ask you to go and serve a 9-course meal to that woman? My brethren, the word of God that is twisted in all the denominational churches, you will see a common pattern. Their ultimate goal is destroy repentance from people. So that everybody feels, I'm a child of God. I'm a mighty child of God. I'm a wonderful child of God. Loving kindness of God is full in my life. He always forgives me. This is more dangerous than a poison that can kill you instantly. You know why? Because you will spread this negativity. You will spread this poison as long as you are alive. Correct? So now, when the Lord called all of us, when I do healing, you come and do healing with me. When I do making, you come and do making with me. When I do transportation of people, moving people from one place to another place, you come and do the work of me. When I do the great physician work of progress, perfection, rebuilding the ship, reviving the church of God, whatever the Lord does, if we do not lean to His Spirit, as Brother Paul said, if we do not be able to yield to His work, we may do something exactly the opposite. But that opposite God might have done in some other time, but not this time. Now you remember, book of Isaiah says, chapter 5 verse 20, woe unto him who say peace when there is no peace. Correct? Can David say to the servants, to the servant who came, I stepped my foot on the chest of Saul, okay, I killed him. Did David maintain peace with that wickedness? We may see the flesh and blood, but David eliminated that false witness. Forget about flesh and blood. So when God told people of Israel, don't show mercy, wipe out, eliminate, people of Israel went and showed some mercy. Look what happened. More than 2,000 or 3,000 years of blindness is still with them. For what? They misunderstood God's mercy for their own emotions. A good example that we all can learn in the priests of God in Old Testament, they destroy. The priests of God in the New Testament, they let things to destroy them. Correct? They would never defend themselves. The Lord says, you are all my sheep. I release you in the midst of wolves. I release you in the midst of beasts that are waiting to devour you. What would he say? Lord, strong tower, promised land, Goshen, 10 plagues could not touch your children, and now you are telling me, throw us into the wolves, throw us into the serpents. God showed the world who he is in the Old Testament, and God is showing the world who he is through his children in the New Testament. Amen? In the life of earth, he wants us to live Calvary. But in doing so, my dear brethren, the Lord wants us to be very careful of one thing. That faith and the truth he has given to you, the revelation that he revealed to you, when there is some challenge that is coming against us, you are not the lamb. You are not the sacrificing lamb. You are not the sheep thrown into the wolves. You are the lion that follows the lion of Judah. You stand and roar. You stand and speak for your faith. You must stand and speak for your faith. The young man was possessed by demons. He was healed by the healer. And Pharisees, Sadducees, all those people in that time, they called him. They asked him, who healed you? Tell us the name and say something to blasphemy about against him, so that we can arrest him and kill him. Kill who? Jesus Christ. Peter and John could not be killed by the lame who stood with them. Jesus could not be arrested by the man who was possessed, that later he was healed. And those people, they were trying to get a false witness from him. And they noted that this man is not speaking. He's speaking of the one who healed him. He's standing very firm with him. So they called his parents. And the parents came. And they asked, "You know who we are, right? We have the power. Look at the police gun." That's why I said the word gun. Gun doesn't mean, I'm not representing bullet and shooting. But a power to do the right thing and the evil thing. A power. People will be scared of your law. And these Pharisees, they are asking the parents, "Who healed your son?" What the parents said. They know that they have the power to drag their son out of the city and stone him to death. Correct? Correct? They could do it. But the parents also scared, and this is what they said. "My son is of age. He speaks for himself." What they said? "My son is of age. He speaks for himself. Go and ask him." They were scared. That is one side. At the same time, the Lord also blessed the son to stand for himself. He let the parents, could not help him. So they again asked him. This time he was speaking with wisdom, with authority. He rebuked them. Who? A man who was possessed by demons. He rebuked those leaders by speaking very boldly. But still they could not stone him to death. They let him go free. The clothing that we are focusing, we are learning from, if the Lord is working this particular task, do I have the clothing of builder? If the Lord wants me to come to Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him, do I have the garment of prayer? If the Lord wants me to come and sing, dance unto him, do I have the garment of praise? If the Lord go and witness about his name to the multitudes, do I have the garment of salvation? If the Lord wants me to show the light to my family, my loved ones, do I have the garment of light? Mercy, love, grace are the poison that is currently used in all the heathen religion, denominational churches, to tell the people it is okay, it is okay, it is okay, it is okay. Do whatever you want. God forgives you. It's wrong. We are all not consumed by His mercy. Praise the Lord. But there are things. There are codes. There are lines. There are law and order, and there is fear of God. So now, last Sunday, I was speaking about Goshen. So today, this is where we will start. Ask yourself, God moved the people of Israel from one place to another, and that place is called Goshen. Amen? And that land belongs to the rulership or kingdom of Egypt. Correct? Now, during the time, 400 years, something happened to the land. What happened? The land did not change. The king changed. The first chapter of book of Exodus starts with the words, "There arose a king who knew not Joseph." That's it. Case closed. The land of Goshen becomes land of captivity already. Why? The moment when you have a leader who do not know the Lord, who do not know Jesus Christ, that kingdom will be a corrupted kingdom. No matter how powerful you are. That kingdom will be a corrupted kingdom. So, the book of Exodus starts with captivity. 400 years, people of Israel in the land of Goshen. Oh, wow. They were multiplied. Oh, good. In captivity. What? Yes, in captivity. Why? "There arose a king who knew not Joseph." That's it. God is going to start his work. Why? Captivity is not part of God's plan. Amen? God would never want his children to be a captive in sickness, to be a captive in any of our thoughts, our understanding. He will deliver us. So now, that Goshen, the place that they lived, the Lord decided, some other king is ruling. He don't believe me. So I want you to migrate to some other land, some other place, a promised land. Amen? So now you see, in the 10 plagues, 9 plagues were coming one by one. And there was a gap. Amen? Why? Because God is going to send the 10th plague, which is called the killing of the firstborn. So, kind, soft title. Killing of the firstborn. 10th plague. But the Lord gave time. Told the people, do this, do this, do that. Apply the blood on the doorpost. Then tell all the people in Goshen, people, wherever the people are, tell them to go and hide. Amen? Tell them to go and hide in the cleft of the rock. Tell them to be hidden by my wings. Tell them to be hidden by my doorpost, my house. Amen? So he told them to go. Now, I want you all to meditate on this sequence. Captivity, deliverance. Amen? This is what the Lord wants, correct? The people of Israel were not delivered until they crossed the Red Sea. Amen? Once you enter the wilderness, you are delivered, but still you have a life to live. Perfection. We go there. Because promised land is on the other side. Wilderness is not the promised land. You see how many times God separated. Book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were separated. From where? Garden of Eden. Who did that? God. By what? Clothed them by coats of skins. He told them, get out. Okay. Yes, yes. I'm going out. Your tenancy contract expired. Same as us now. They left. Now, Adam and Eve, they live their own life. Then there was another separation. Noah and family. You come. Lord, where should we go? I want you to build a big ark for me. Okay, what is the size? We are a family of 8. A small ferry will do? No. 300 cubits. 1, 2, 3. What is it? 450 feet. Around 500 feet. It's bigger than a submarine. Lord says, yes, yes, build it. I will give you tools. I will give you wood. And I will give you inch precise dimensions because he is the greatest engineer, greatest mathematician the world has ever seen. He gave him inch by inch precision. Imagine God is a supervisor, Noah is the engineer, designing everything. Lord, is it good? Yeah, it's good. Continue. So Noah did accordingly. That is the beautiful word that tells Noah built the ark exactly what the Lord wanted. David was supposed to build the house exactly what the Lord wanted. But David could not complete. Solomon came and completed. But to the sight of the Lord, David is the servant, the prince promised forever. Everyone behind him, they are all David. Because the Lord come and saved them, saying, for the sake of my servant David, I save you. Oh, you did this mistake, Israel. For the sake of my servant David, I save you. Oh, you did this. For the sake of my servant Abraham, I save you. This promise has to be there for all of us to be saved by Jesus Christ. Amen? So now, ark was prepared, but before the preparation, there was a separation. Amen? God separated Noah and his family, and they had to build the ark. Was it done overnight? No. Was it done in a few days? No. It took time. It took a long time. So, Noah was separated for what? Tell me. To build the ark. Amen? So, first separation from God's Garden of Eden. Second separation from the wickedness of the world. Because God has decided, I'm going to destroy. Enough is enough. I'm going to send the flood. So, Noah and family were separated, consecrated for God to complete the work of building the ark. Not just for Noah. Remember this. The reason why beast and cattle are keep on being addressed in the 10th plague, 7 trumpets, 7 vials of wrath is because it is from the beginning. God told Adam, all the creeps, all the lives, everything is subject to you. You rule over them. Okay, God, good. Then when God told Noah, escape, he did not let him escape alone. Whatever he promised Adam, he must stay truthful, faithful. So he brought every animal one pair and he built the ark not just for man, but also for the beast. Amen? But there was only one thing that did not enter the ark. Fishes, because they can live in the flood. Correct? Fishes can live in the flood. So now, Noah's ark was built. Separation was done. But imagine, Noah built the ark. And Noah's wife says, honey, there is a big festival going on in this land of some Babylon, somewhere. Let's go and enjoy the festival. Let's go, let's go. So Noah, his 3 sons, and daughter-in-law, and his wife, let's say they all go for the festival. Ark is built. Everything is jet set go. And the flood comes. And they can see the ark far away. They built the ark. They spent all their lives to build the ark. They built the ark. They put all their sincerity, work, love, Obedience to God, they built the ark. But when the time the flood hit, if you are not nearby, what's the point? When the time flood comes and hits the nation, when the time the Lord opens the floodgates, destroys the flesh, if you are far away, the Lord says, run. You want to run, but the flood comes in between. You want to swim, but the flood works against you. Remember thy Creator before the silver cord is broken. Remember your Creator before the Lord sends stone. If you can't remember Him when you are happy, you would never remember Him when you are sad. You just want a healer to come and heal you. You just want a comforter to come and comfort you. You just want some deliverer to come and deliver you. You just want an advocate to come and plead for you. But you don't want the Lord who loves you. So if Noah and family, they can see this ark I built. Okay. So what? Flood is coming. If you are not inside the ark, it profiteth nothing. Every single word, the doctrines God gave you, every single sermon, the Lord has blessed you, every single blessings, valleys, mountains, people of God, children of God, ministers of God, apostles of God, the Lord has clothed your life to build the ark for you to dwell inside. The Lord gave you everything, all knowledge, all prophecy, all gifts, everything is there. Mighty 500 feet of ark. Wow. 300 cubits of length. 40 years of spiritual life. Yoo-hoo! If I lack charity, it profiteth nothing. Those who entered the house, the Lord could only do that by love, by grace, by mercy. Amen? If He has measured them by strength and weakness, my brethren, all the people of Israel are doomed on that day. He just told them, open the door, enter, I invite you in my love. Joseph invited the father Jacob in love. If Jacob says, what? My son, you are giving me advice. You are calling me to come to Egypt to survive. Do you know who I am? My name is Jacob. God of Jacob is my help. People call my name when they call the name of the Lord. I wrestle against the angel of the Lord. Overnight. Do you know who I am? Jacob. Jacob didn't think any of that. God told Jacob, my son, what? My son is calling, go my son. My son is calling, my son. Oh, Joseph is your son. Oh, Jacob, your son. You are all the children of God. Jacob received the invitation when Joseph sent. But it was not Joseph who invited Jacob. It was God who invited Jacob. Go there. Invitation in agape love would never return in vain in Jesus' name. It will be sown as a seed. That seed will enter the Garden of Eden. No one can stop it. You believe. I believe. We believe. So now, Joseph opened the door. Jacob and family entered the Ark of Noah. What Ark of Noah? Yes, Ark of Noah. God opened the door. Noah and family entered the Ark. Who shut the door? God. Scripture says God shut them in. He shut the door. No one can open. Even Moses want to open, cannot open. If it all takes obedience for Moses to enter the ship, after he enters the ship, he looks at the flood. He gets frustrated. He wants to go and open the door. You are a prisoner. Cannot escape. God shut the door. No man can open it. You see the beauty of obedience. You can only obey my brethren when you can obey. When the judge comes, if you go and tell him, Lord, I obey now. No, I checked the last time the grace period ended last few years ago. This time, there is no grace available. No stocks. Only judgment is available. Freely I can give it to you. When it is available, we take it. Amen? Moses took it. Noah took it. He took what? He obeyed, entered the ark. Jacob obeyed, entered Egypt. If Jacob thinks, Pharaoh rules Egypt, I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I will be here. Gone. But he is a part of the word. He would never do anything against the word of God. Amen? So now you recall all of this. Family entered ark. Good. Family of God entered the house. Good. But Goshen was that land that was used for separation. Captivity, separation, consecration, sanctification, washing, cleansing, deliverance. The blood that applied on the doorpost washed people as they walk inside, because you cannot walk inside if you are not humble. You can't walk inside if you are not obedient. You can't walk inside if you don't trust the command of God. Amen? So they entered. So, that's why last Sunday I said, people escaped, the cattle escaped in the land of Goshen. Because separation can only save you for a while. Do you hear me? Separation can only shield you, save you for a while, for the sake of God's work, for the sake of God's servant. But it is not sufficient. There is one more thing, sanctification, consecration, then enter into the holy chamber. What is the title of last Sunday's sermon? Holy chamber. Goshen was not the holy chamber. It's like a womb, the child is growing. 600,000 people are, they're being multiplied. But when Goshen released them, they had to cross the sea, go to the wilderness, again continue to walk. They don't know how to walk, because you're a child. You crawl, you fall this side, you fall that side. But the Lord will bless you to cross the river of Jordan. Until the river of Jordan was not crossed, until the people of God entered the promised land, that separation profited nothing. Do you hear me? That separation profited nothing. God separated Noah. It profited nothing if he did not enter into the ark. People of God were delivered from captivity, but it profited nothing if they did not enter into the house. Goshen was not sufficient. I repeat, Goshen was not sufficient. Your identity of calling yourself as a faithful follower of Christ, not sufficient. That is separation. Good. God separated you. Praise the Lord. Baptism. God separated you. Praise the Lord. Not sufficient. There is a life to live. So imagine, I'm here. This is my land of Goshen. The Lord took me from that place of captivity and placed me here. Goshen. And as long as I stay within this whiteboard, arrows cannot hit me. So Brother Darren, he is Egyptian. Throw all the stones and arrows. Comes and hits everywhere. All the place comes and hits everywhere. I say, look at this man. I'm from Goshen. Don't you know, Brother Darren? I'm from Goshen. Are you kidding me? Throw whatever you want. I'll be standing here. Then you close your eyes. Plague 1, plague 2, plague 3. Do. Plague 5, plague 6, plague 7. Try. Plague 8, plague 9. Go do whatever you want. And why there is a gap? Where are my friends? Maybe they are all weak, praying somewhere. Okay. But they are preparing. Pesach is going on. Passover is going on. Okay, do. I'm very busy in facing the enemy. I like boxing. No? I'm a boxer. Come. Plagues. Whatever. Come. Because as long as I'm in this football post, you can't score a goal against me. But the Lord said, separation is for you to start walk closer, drawing nearer, cross the land, sanctification, consecration, apply the blood, enter into the house. So now I'm inside the house. Now the 10th plague, it does not know the whiteboard. Do you hear me? The 10th plague does not differentiate the Darren and me. To the 10th plague, both of us are Egyptians. You hear me? Because obedience is not the fruit of God's production. Obedience is the fruit of your submission. God cannot bless you with obedience. If God can make me to be obedient, then I'm a robot. I'm nothing but a beast. Obeys the master. But I was created. I am created in his image, in his likeness. That is a free will. Now you see, the free will is the distance I cross from that whiteboard to this house. And that free will, every single step I took, I must crush my ego, my pride, my flesh, my desire to obey the word of God, to enter the house. Then the Lord says, time for 10th plague, release. Then the 10th plague comes, everything else destroyed. Noah inside the ark escaped. People of Israel inside the doorpost escaped. So, can I say, separation, sanctification, consecration, and entering into the most holy place, the holy chamber, once you enter, you are covered. Amen? You are covered. flood cannot come from the bottom of the ship, cannot, because it was built by God. All those plagues cannot enter the house because it was built by God. Sanctified, consecrated, washed, sealed by the blood of Christ. Amen? Nothing can enter. Now you know the scripture. Nothing can separate me from the love of God as long as you are inside the house. If you stand outside the house, you may say the same thing. Feel the same thing. Nothing can separate me. True. Nothing can separate me. Amen. Nothing can separate me. Hallelujah. But the scripture says, your iniquities separated you from me. Lord, is there a verse? Yes, go and read Old Testament. Oh, I didn't know. I thought the license book has only this many rules. So, clothing, covering, shielding, the Lord has blessed all of us to understand the mighty tower, the strong tower, the Ark of Noah, the house, the doorpost, applied the blood post. Aaron was only prepared in the book of Exodus, chapter 26 after. But what I am reading just now is between the 9th plague and 10th plague. Do you hear me? This is very important. Because sometimes God steps into the scene by himself. In the Garden of Eden, there was no Aaron to intercede for Adam. There was no high priest of God to sacrifice an animal. There was no one who could do the clothing of Adam and Eve. The scripture says, God clothed them with coats of skin. God. Amen? Between the 9th plague and 10th plague, the garment of Aaron's priestly service was only introduced later, after they entered the promised land. But before that, God himself performed the covering. God himself told them, do this. There is no way you will escape my wrath. There is no way you will escape my plague. So my brethren, God separated you. Praise the Lord. God blessed you to be washed with the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. You did not do it. You did not deserve it. Hear me. It was given to you. So God blessed you to escape from all the principalities, all the Pharaoh, all the 9 plagues. Praise the Lord. But the 10th plague, the final judgment is coming in the New Testament. The final judgment is coming because the judge is coming. He is ready. He is ready to execute the judgment after the marriage is over. But before that, those who entered that house, they were not the same who entered the promised land. Correct? Am I wrong to say that? 40 years of journey did something to those who witnessed God's mighty hand in 9 plagues, who witnessed God's mighty protection in the 10th plague, who witnessed God in the mighty hand of Moses, because he is the hand of God. When the sea was divided, they witnessed all of it. But when the Lord threw them into wilderness, they became the fullest manifestation of their flesh. And they questioned God. They doubted God. They were confused. They were complaining. They did not believe that they will enter the promised land. You know why? I was meditating so carefully. Because they were thinking about themselves. They didn't care about the second generation or third generation. All they cared was them to enter the promised land. Them to tell the world testimony of Jesus. Them to tell the world, mighty God delivered me. I was in this prison. This guy, Pharaoh, was ruling over me. He didn't know I'm a child of God. Poor guy, made a mistake. The Lord destroyed him. 40 years I was working with Moses. We had wonderful experiences. And now I am in the promised land. Those who were clothed by the clothing of the service, they survived the wilderness. Those who were expecting God to be the healer, deliverer, redeemer, promised land, real estate agent, whatever they wanted God to give them, they did not survive the wilderness. They were dead the moment they embraced their life with that thought. But the Lord kept them to take the seeds out of them. The second generation was circumcised by Joshua. Amen? Most of them, they didn't make it. Only those who understood God's work, who were born again, When the Lord delivered you, me from the captivity, we embrace our old man, old clothing, Egyptian clothing. The Lord sees us, it's fine, come, no time. If I take time to consecrate you, sanctify you, wash you, Pharaoh will kill you. Let's go. I will prepare Moses and Aaron later. They will become your priest and they will sacrifice and they will intercede. They will save you. Come, come. Let's go. 9th plague, you escape. 10th plague, you escape. Praise the Lord. Red Sea divided into two, you escape. Praise the Lord. After he entered the wilderness, you know what God would do? He will take his hands off. I can only support my 2 children when they learn to walk. Amen? I can carry them when they can't even stand in their feet. The moment they stand, I will drop them. The moment they learn to walk, I will try to hold them. The moment they learn how to walk, now 2 things will happen. They will take their hands off me, or I will take my hands off them. Correct? When I take my hands off them, I decided to take my hands off them for them to learn how to walk, how to run. But if you take your hands off him, be careful. You know how God holds your hand? He will hold your hand like this. Not like this, like this. It's here, you go and hold it. Amen? He won't crush your hand. It will be always like this. But as long as your hand is touching his hand, no one can take you away from him. You are like a magnet attached to the strongest magnet ever. Can't take it, can't take you from him. But the moment you think, I can run, I can walk, I can jump, I can dance, I can do anything, I can do all things through me who strengthen me, take your hand. And God's hand is here. Since I decided to take my hands off him, my clothing will be dropped. It happened to Joseph. By what the wife of Potiphar caught Joseph? Hand? Hair? Leg? By what? The scripture says she caught him by garment. What? The woman, the Potiphar's wife, the wickedness, the principality, the flesh, the evil, your own thought, your own understanding, will always catch you by garment. Because if someone wants to pull me down, I put my buttons on. If as long as they hold my garment, they can pull me down, correct? But I'm here. But my garment pulls me. Esau, the whole body was like a hairy cover. And the mother had to clothe Jacob so that the father, when he touched the son, he would feel like Esau. Oh, Esau, Esau. But Jacob knows. Jacob is not a normal man. God's servants are prophets. He knows exactly what he's doing. So, Jacob, Isaac, both of them, they did the same blessing to the sons of Joseph, to the sons of his own, but there was an attempt to deceive the servants of God, but they can't be deceived. But that blessedness, it teaches us, in order for God to close his eyes on Calvary, there must be iniquity and shame to cover Jesus with the filthy garments, correct? God is holy, in him there is no darkness. For Jesus to tell on the cross, my God, why thou hast forsaken me, there must be something that makes God to hide his face. Amen? Now you bring all of this together. Separation and sanctification, consecration of God's priest, and entering into the most holy place, learning from God, understanding God's will, and do your work. And when we are released into the wilderness, we walk. Amen? We walk, we walk, we walk until we cross the river of Jordan, our life is not over. Until the Lord through us, our life is not over. So until then, we say, Lord, help me to finish my race. Amen? Now ask yourself, what is the race? Your race is from the place where you were separated, from the time you were saved, from the time the Lord touched you, from the time the Lord baptized you, from the time the Lord gave you his name, you are separated. Then you run the race. To where? Noah had to run his race from the place he built the ark, from that place to enter the ark. From the place they were separated in the land of Goshen to the place where they can enter into the house on which the blood was applied. Amen? Now, if we are careless in this, our clothing, our garment will be caught by the wife of Potiphar. She is not a woman who was simply trying to sleep with Joseph. What would happen if garment of Joseph is defiled? Who will invite Jacob? What would happen if Joseph stood as a bad testimony in front of King Pharaoh? Who will save people of Israel? What would happen if Potiphar himself wants to kill Joseph because he defiled the bed of his life? The whole promise of God in the life of Joseph will be at a huge question mark by that single event when that woman caught him by garment. The scripture says, she caught him by garment. Now I stop here. Jesus said, sheep, wolves in sheep clothing. Amen? Am I correct to say that? Sheep, wolves in sheep clothing. Okay. Esau, Jacob in Esau's clothing. Oh. Jesus, sinful people. Okay. Jesus in sinful people clothing. Oh. My clothing. Adam and Eve clothed by God by the coats of skin. Oh. People of Israel dancing in Goshen. People of Israel clothed covered by the house upright by the doorpost. Oh. Joshua clothed their filthy garments. An angel of the Lord told them, remove the filthy garments, change the new garments, and Joshua, you are ready to serve the Lord. Amen? Why? Why God is so particular about it? There was one prophet for whom it happened other way around. Do you remember him? For everyone it was clothed, but for one it was stripped off. Isaiah. Before the Lord called him to go and serve him, he told him, can you walk naked for 3 years? I need to go and complain to Assyrians, Egyptians and all my enemies. Isaiah said, done, Lord. He was walking naked for 3 years. And your Lord, your Savior, my Savior, the prophet, the chief apostle, he was doing the ministry for all of us just for more than 3 years. Amen? He had to take off his clothing of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Mighty deliverer is he. But he came as a simple, weak man. When I say weak, he had no power, authority in this world. He gave everything to the world. He came as an empty vessel for the Lord's will to happen as it is. A prophet of God cannot clothe anything other than what God wants to be clothed. To the sight of God, Isaiah was beautifully clothed. To the sight of enemies, he was seen as a joker. Maybe mentally depressed. That's why I said, we have to be very careful. You cannot presume the move of the Holy Ghost. If all of us, after the service, we walk and we see a small garden and someone is crying, blood is coming out, crying, weeping. What do you say? Poor, this land is struggling with mental depression. Look at the stress this man is going through. May the Lord have mercy. Hey, wait. Why the setting is different? Why there are three more guys sleeping? What's their name? Peter, John, James. Oh. Oh, this gardener gets some money. I just traveled time. Oh, that is Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I thought I'm in 2024. I didn't know. It was 30 AD. Forgive me. So, if you see something that happened in the scripture, in that verse, it is okay. If the same thing happens in your life, it is not okay. If the Jesus Christ whom you serve, he can spit and heal the blind, it's okay. But when the Lord humiliates us, it is not okay. No. I only want you to come to me as a strong Lord who is mighty in battle, okay? Healer, great physician, just edification, encouragement, done. Anything else, my door is closed. Pruning, purging, perfection cannot be done with grace and mercy. If the Lord forgives me for everything, I will be the disobedient son who cannot call on the name of the Lord. That is still love, my brethren. The Lord suffers more when you suffer. May the Lord bless us to bring everything to our mind. The builder must carry the building tools, not the gun. And that gun, I'm not referring to the metal gun with bullets. I'm referring to your heart with the words. I can shoot you down, I can curse you by saying, brother, I saw what you did to me last week. I checked Philippians chapter 5 verse 6. I'm sad to tell you, that verse is not in you. What I'm doing? I'm supposed to be a builder and maker, but I'm coming with a gun to shoot my brother. And the Lord says, do not accuse, but speak life, in truth and in love. So when the Lord performs His work, there are layers of work. Amen? Moses cleaning the 3,000 was God's work. But those the family of 3,000, if they wage a war against Moses, they know not. It was him who stood for them by sacrificing his life. Blot my name out. They know not. You know why? They would not know. The moment you are filled with hatred, God is not in you. Brother, don't be harsh. Speak softly. God is not in you. Same words. The tone does not differentiate the message. The moment our heart is filled with hatred, God cannot be in us. Judgment is not hatred. Joshua judging Israel was not hatred. If not, Israel is gone. Moses judging Israel was not hatred. If not, Israel is gone. God is not all about sealing, preserving, protecting, and bringing His children out of the tomb. Telling Lazarus, come out. Amen? The Lord tells Mary and Martha, bury your brother in tomb number 7. Okay, good. And they are so busy in the worldly things, and they go and bury him in tomb number 10. And the Lord comes and says, tomb number 7, come out. Nobody is there. Where is Lazarus? Oh, I put him in some other room. I told you to be inside the house that was applied by the blood of Christ. Which tomb that you are hiding? Oh, it's my blood of my fifth church messenger. I love him. I worship him. Anyone, any name, any book comes in between the authoritative ground of Scripture, it is a tomb. You will die inside. There is only one Savior, one teacher, one master, one apostle, one prophet, one priest, one Savior. And He has ways of working His ways. And His ways are His servants. When you say, the Lord is holy and righteous in all His ways, you ask His ways. If He is the Word of God, amen? If He is the way, then if you are the part of God, then you are His way. He is working through you, you become His way. He wants to save, let's say, Brother Raleigh wants to be saved by Brother Clement. The Lord wants to bypass through Brother Clement. Then Brother Clement becomes the way of the way. You are one of His ways. Vessels of God, the ways of God. God wants to work through them. Amen? If not, why the Lord says, I look for a man to stand in the gap. For what? To play with him? To work through him. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Not Christ who far away. Through Christ. Amen? Let's turn your scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 36. So what we did just now, we stitched the robes. We are kneading together what we studied last two Sundays. Because book of Isaiah, book of Ezekiel, Deuteronomy, book of Revelation, if we are a bit careless, we will be lost. When I say being careful, we say being mindful. And what is that mind? The mind of Christ. When we are filled with the mind of Christ, the Lord would say, after you leave the church, you would say, my son, today you go and meditate this chapter. Okay, Lord, you'll go and meditate. The Lord will speak to you. You are asking some question to the Lord. And that answer, my brethren, it will be there. It will be there. Listening is not sufficient. Separation is not sufficient. Sanctification, consecration happens when you meditate on your own. Go and try. You'll bless the name of the Lord. Now, 36. 36 from verse 1 to verse 24, book of Ezekiel.
And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord God. Because the enemy has said to you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus say the Lord God. Because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations.
Amen.
And you are taken up by lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus said the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession, with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds, in order to plunder its open country. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nation. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath, that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply you, men and beasts, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited for in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus said the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 17, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in your own land, they defiled it with their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanliness of a woman in a customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood that they shed on the land, and for their idols which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed among the country. I judge them according to their ways and their deeds. When they come to the nations, wherever they went, they profane my holy name. When they said of them, they are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake,
Amen.
Which you have profaned among the nations whenever you went, and I will sanctify my great name,
Amen.
Which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God.
Amen.
When I am hallowed in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. God bless you. I wanted to start from 37, but the Lord moved my heart. I should start from 36. It sets the context perfectly. That the Lord is more concerned of the sanctification of his name in the midst of his people. Do you know why? When the people, they are in need, if the Lord wants to call on the name of the Lord, do you hear me? If the Lord's name is not sanctified, but rather it was profaned, God cannot hear us. Do you hear me? God cannot hear us if his name was not sanctified in his house. Now, let's look at this. When a shepherd leads a flock, you see he's a good shepherd because the flock is following him. Last Sunday when I said the lions are running, a man is running, we all think, even I think, the man is running for life because the animals changed my mind. Just because I changed the beast, my mind is tuned to what I saw. Because my mind is limited. I only know a lion can kill a man. But I forgot Daniel was enjoying his time in the den with lions. I forgot for a moment. Because I didn't see it. It's not normal. God is not normal. So the way he works is beyond our mind, beyond our understanding, beyond what we can learn. So only the Spirit of God can teach us what the Lord wants and how the Lord works. Amen? So the Lion of Judah, if that man who was running in the front, if I replace him with a strong, mighty lion, you would see an alpha lion leading the, you know, a pack of lions. But just because I change him into a man, we are confounded. That's exactly what happened on Calvary. They could not see the Lion of Judah is walking. They only saw a weak sacrificial lamb. Let's finish this case. Because they were looking at him as a blasphemy. That he was blaspheming the name of God. What is the first commandment, my brethren? The first two commandments God gave to Moses, to the people of Israel. It covers what happened on Calvary. The judgment that fell upon the Lord himself, and not just that, and all the apostles. Even Stephen was killed for blasphemy. You blasphemed the name of God. But actually he didn't. So what we see is what God does not want you to see. So perception is understanding. So the Lord wants us to be very careful. The time that he separated us, he gave us some space. He gave us some time for us to learn. We are new to faith. The Lord separated us. We don't know what is this, Old Testament, New Testament, for those who are new to the faith. And those who are born in the faith, it is even worse for you. You know why? You have not experienced what captivity is. You have not experienced what is darkness. So it's even more riskier. So the Lord wants both the sides to experience both. Do you see? 430 years people were in captivity. Most of the people, they were born and brought up in that Goshen, correct? They were actually inside the Egyptian land. So God allowed them to taste. He gave them time to make mistakes. He was merciful to them. He was graceful to them. But he has the weighing scale. He knows how much he can give, how much he can ask you. Amen? So from the time of separation, he gave you time for you to walk. Grace and mercy, loving kindness, fruit of the Spirit, everything. Praise the Lord. But there comes a time he starts doing his work in you. He sanctifies his name in you. He consecrates you for his priesthood service. He anoints you by putting his Spirit in you. And he washes you by his word. He cleanses your chamber for him to dwell. And he purges you. Without that, how can I be perfect, church? Amen? I am imperfect, but I am perfect in his word. I am not holy, but I am holy in his word. The promise is given to us. We are perfect in him. Never let your flesh to say, you are gone. In your flesh, yes. In his word, no. You have victory. No one can defeat Joshua. It's a promise. Only if you remember, you will have the promise. God told Joshua, no man can stand against you. It is not just for Joshua. Behind every single one is leading. Behind all the generations who believe on his name. Behind every single people who were born and die. Everyone, no one can stand against you. People can kill you at the most, but your faith, your spirit will go back to him. Now, this process, my brethren, is critical for us to enter into his sanctuary, enter into his holy chamber. The change of raiment is happening here, the first sermon. The Lord changed your garment. He can't let you enter with the filthy garment. He changed it. And when he changes us, he asks us to go inside, holding on to his love. Because the crucifixion on Calvary, it opens the door. Amen? It opens the door. Now my life is not over yet. This is where people fall. Just because we are part of a church, just because I'm baptized, I know the Lord, I know 12 apostles, I know 7 church messengers, I know all the book, doesn't matter. Let me tell you, what you know The enemy know. What you know, theologians know. But what you can do, flesh cannot do. That is the true separation. This is separation. And this is the true separation. After this, your wilderness starts. Correct? After the people of Israel entered this house, they cannot say, I can live inside the house forever. That is like a pregnancy period. You have to come out, cross the sea, and walk in the wilderness, endure the pain for the joy that is set before thee, the promised land, the rest. Who is your rest? The Lord of my Sabbath, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I will enter into Him. Amen? He is the true rest, not this building. Not this building. Not this. For all of us, until we enter into His rest, enter into Him, covered by His wing, for Eve should go inside the body of Adam. Amen? She was taken out of Adam. She must go into Adam. She must put back into the place that she belongs. Amen? Until then, our garment, the tools we carry, extremely important. If I stand here as a servant of God, and if I keep on telling all of you, love and grace and mercy, love and grace and mercy, we all lose fear of God. We all lose wrath of God. We all lose reverence and honor for the Lord. Our church will be cursed. Grace and mercy, love. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Not without compromising the reverence and honor to the God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Now you go and read scripture. Those who fell, they lost the fear of God. Correct? Those who went against God, they lost the garment of fear of God. Someone caught them by their garment and they were able to successfully pull them down. Because whenever you see a wife of Potiphar holds your garment, if you are not quick to unbutton your shirt and drop it, you can't escape like Prophet Isaiah. He escaped because God told him, be naked. He removed it and ran away. Correct? If someone controls you, when I say someone, it can be something. Some thought troubles you. Some weariness makes you to feel weaker, staying away from God. Something that makes you to be broken inside. The Lord wants you to spit it out, pray together. And the Lord wants you to take that garment off, drop your garment, flee. Flee there, to the wilderness or the house. Flee there. To the house of the Lord, for the house of the Lord is called the house of prayer. Watch and pray. So now, let's read the next verses as I want to continue from here. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who? God is speaking through His prophet to all of us. Ye shall be clean. Praise the Lord. So, I need to sprinkle the water for you to be clean. And there are churches who literally do this by sprinkling water on people's faces. Maybe they are sleeping, they want them to get up. So they sprinkle water. That is not the holy water. When the Lord called all of us, I put my spirit in you, the water of life makes you to be quickened. Amen? Quickened. So, from all your filthiness, Joshua's garment, filthy garment was removed. Zechariah chapter 3, that is the root of this whole sermon series. We take it from there, because Joshua was taught, trained, learned from Moses and Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. Amen? The first high priest. Now, let's continue this in the wilderness. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. That is why we all say we are the arks of the covenant. God's spirit is in you. You are carrying something. The part of the word. The manifestation of God's spirit. Amen? You carry something, you are a carrier. You are the mailman carrying God's message. Arks of the covenant, following the ark. Lions of Judah, following the line of Judah. Sheep, following the sacrificial lamb. Amen? It's not the goat, sacrificial lamb. Now, and I will put my spirit within you. Oh, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. New garment, new man, never forget that. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, the old man, and I will give you an heart of flesh. This is not the flesh that we see here. God created us in flesh, not the leprous flesh. It needs healing. The fresh flesh of what God would give you. He would transform us. Amen? And I will put my spirit within you. You can't take my spirit. I must put it within. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You can't walk by yourself. I need to cause. Now you remember the verse? I, the Lord, I have not done anything without a cause. If the Lord caused you to walk in his statutes, there is a reason. There is a purpose. The Lord wants you to be used for his glory, to save someone, to be an encouragement, edification for someone, to be the vessel of his healing, breaking, making of his work through you. That is the reason we are all breathing, as we are all also going to be perfected. Amen? So he says, keep my judgments and do them. That is how the book of Revelation ends. Do my commandments, get access to the tree of life. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. This is where we are coming. Goshen was not the land of covenant. It's Canaan, the promised land. God promised Abraham the promised land. Amen? Now, when you read here, ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, I'll be your God. God did not simply say that. Now you see, if I want to stay in Goshen, I must take the citizenship of Egyptian, physically, spiritually speaking. If not, I had to drop everything, like what Moses did. He dropped everything from the royal priesthood, royal place. He chose God, went into wilderness. He became a stranger in the wilderness. The Lord blessed him to do all of this. After the house, there was a wilderness, promised land. Joshua took people. So there is a life behind it, life to be lived. Until then, God cannot say, I will give you the promised land which I promised your forefathers. It's not the physical land. He is our promised land. Amen? We live in him, he lives in us, and we'll enter into his rest. Until then, our life is not over. We must be relentless, steadfast, immovable. And that needs proper clothing. Book of Nehemiah says, children of God, they lack nothing in the wilderness. Wow, nice. Their garments were not torn. The sandals were not spoiled. What? You mean they were walking in the wilderness in that UV, without UV sunscreen and all those hot sun? Still the garments were still intact? Yes. The sandal was not worn out? No. Why? If God calls you, he will justify you. If God delivers you, he will see you through. In that being, the enemy will tell you, your garment was purple color when you left Egypt. See, I think it's very lame. It looks very dull. Do you want to try this garment? It's beautiful. See, it's like purple green. The Lord told Adam and Eve, I clothed you with coats of skins. Keep it, walk. If we think this garment is better than this garment, this book is better than this book, this man is better than that man, you will drop your garment. Someone caught you by the garment. That Potiphar's wife, she was successful. She pulled you down. When you get up, you will put on the garment that she clothes you. Lack of understanding. Lack of understanding is the result of losing the fear of God, losing the honor and reverence for God. You just forgot what he did in the past. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. You will forget when you forget the fear of God. You will forget when you forget the reverence and honor for God. When it happens, my brethren, you are not the fulfillment of that verse. Children of God lack nothing in the wilderness. There is another fulfillment. Have you seen? We are reading all those verses. God says, I separated you, you still profane my name. Lord, yeah, I separated you, you still profane my name. I want to truly separate you where you can never profane my name. Until then, you have the choice. Your free will is up to here. Until you go and be crucified on his cross, nailed to the cross with him, you are not dead completely. Amen? You have a battle with your old man. Wrestle like what Jacob wrestled. We can wrestle. The Lord has given us the power. Flesh is weak. He didn't say flesh is strong. Flesh is weak. Spirit is willing. So now, let's read the next few verses as we travel to 37. Verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. In that single verse, God covered Noah's ark, flood, destruction, and God covered Jacob and people who survived famine by entering into Egypt, because they heed to Joseph's invitation, and God also covers people of Israel who survived the 10th plague. Amen? Three different coverings, three different separation, three different savings that God did. Water, fire, and plague of firstborn. Famine, lack of food. This is our food. Did he let us to suffer for the food of life? He always feeds us. The scripture is always not in your closet. It's in you, here. It's here. Amen? The more we live the verses, you don't have to remember the chapter verse name. You remember the words of life. You live it. People remember the chapters, but people cannot live the chapters. People remember the verses, but people cannot remember the verses in their life. True separation is not here. It's here. Now, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree, not the trees. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden needs to bring forth trees of righteousness. Amen? Isaac needs to build an entire nation. When Isaac begot Jacob, one son, come on, how can I build a nation? Jacob, 12 tribes. 12 tribes, multitude of Israel. But they need some place where they can fruitful and multiply. They need good food. Well, Lot says, okay, look at this Egyptian, they are rich. Let's go and spoil them. He spoils the enemies. If we all think, because of my support to the ministry, the Lord bless all the ministry throughout the world. I want all of us to remember this. Children of Israel spoiled the Egyptians and took what they wanted. Correct? Servants of God, if God wants them to be provided, He will spoil the entire earth and give exactly what they need. Why? We own nothing in this world. Not even the air that is in my lungs. I have to spit it out. Take again. I myself living for rental. The air goes in. If I tell them, just stay inside, the air will tell me, I can, but you will die. Correct? We are all renting our life on this world. We want nothing. Children of Israel spoiled all the wealth of Egyptians before they went into promised land. And what they would think, hey, look at the gold. These poor Egyptians. Let's go and make a golden calf. It is better if you didn't spoil them. Correct? Because you spoiled them, you have gold. And now you have gold, you made a golden calf. And now you have golden calf, you lost 3,000 people. So, it is not what God does in our life. It is what you do with what God did in your life. You can make a golden calf, or you can give it to build the gold plate around the Ark of the Covenant. Which one is better? Giving my best for the Ark of the Covenant, or building my own golden calf? Which one is better? The gold can be used for both. That is a free will, my brethren. You can use your free will to submit to God's word, to be a useful vessel for the Ark of the Covenant, or you can build your own Tower of Babel. That golden calf was nothing but a small, little, golden, tiny Tower of Babel. God came and saw, scattered them. So, sanctification, cleaning, the God is keep on speaking. Before we speak about Aaron, we must prepare our hearts. Aaron is not a simple biblical character. He divides the era of God's grace in the Old Testament. He divides. Moses put all the words in Aaron's mouth. God's complete manifestation of word is our Savior, Jesus Christ. It speaks a lot, super deep. Deep calls from the deep. We must understand, prepare our heart before we speak about Aaron. The 12 stones on his breastplate, the rod of Aaron, what he did in the wilderness. Only then we would understand Zechariah, why Joshua judged Israel. Now, look at this verse. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways. Verse 31. What? Lord, you just told me, bless the Lord of my soul, forget not all his benefits. That's good for me. I stick to this. It's pure. It's good. The Lord says, wait. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself, not clothe, loathe yourself. Loathing is not clothing. Loathing is destroying. Amen? Clothing is edification, encouragement. Loathing is destroying. Removal of a single letter. Clothing. I just took C out. Last Sunday, I used a tilted C. I made pride into bride. Everybody was happy. Now today I'm going to show you another beautiful example. Why? When the Lord called all of us part of the word, you can learn the importance of every single dot, every single line, every single instruction, every single word the Savior spoke in the scripture. I can't tilt. I can't misuse. I can't tilt the word of God from one verse and go and use it in another place. It may sound correct, but it will produce death. Lord says, love your enemies. Just get killed. So Joshua goes to battle of Amalekites. Amalekites are coming. My brethren, today is the day we show the world what is love of God. Drop your weapons. Drop your garments. Amalekites, we are yours. Moses, looking from the mountain. What? I'm praying, my hands so painful. Aaron, her carrying my hands. Two witnesses carrying my message. I'm doing everything here. And you just went and dropped the armor of God in front of the enemies. Oh, Lord, sorry. I thought this is time for love and grace. Oh, Stephen being stoned to death. One man. And suddenly Stephen remembers prophet Elijah. Oh, my forefather. I ask in the name of the Lord for the fire from the heaven to come and destroy all. Lord, look at that. All these guys are gone into ashes. Stephen, what you did. I told you to drop the garments. Just get killed, man. Just get killed. I told you, be a martyr of Christ. For Joshua, it's a different law. For Stephen, it's a different law. Lord, you are not fair. There is no way any of us can predict God's next step. But there is a way for you to submit to His will, trust and obey, let the Spirit take control. By doing so, you may survive. I may survive. Amen? And that may the Lord bless all of us to escape. May the Lord help. Because even we say may, we say, Lord, let thy will be done. I don't know. Last Sunday, I was keep on repeating a particular verse. I don't know how many of you truly pricked in your heart. God was asking Joshua, don't you know? Joshua says, no, my Lord. Don't you know? Joshua says, no, my Lord. If Joshua tries to say, you know, I know this, 99% I get it right, but Lord, 1% I have some doubt. So I don't want to waste your time. You just tell me this particular answer, everything else I got it right. This is called lack of understanding. This is called own understanding. We might put as everything, assemble everything from scripture, but in that point, that single dot, you will tilt everything upside down. Let me show you a good example. Please show that verse, sister. As she loaded the bullet to shoot us, let's read the last verse of Book of Revelation. Why the Lord ends with that sweet, kind, merciful warning. Verse 18, chapter 22, verse 18. Which time is correct? It shows 1, it shows 12:30. Okay, this is wrong. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Listen to me carefully and receive the words of life by the Spirit of God. The last chapter, before the Lord talks about His grace, He gave one last powerful warning. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, the Lord did not say, these men, these women, these ministers. No. These things, the moment He said these things, you should be careful. It means all things are possible. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. All things. You caught in my trap. All things. These things. If any man shall add unto these things, yea, the deep things of God, all things are possible. If you try to add, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You mean not just the 10 plagues. All the plagues, yes, I am all in all. I am all about giving you all of my love, giving you all of my grace, giving you all of my mercy. Everything is sufficient. If you want more, if you want to add something more, I can give you all the plagues. Lord, simple dot. Come on, Lord. Not fair. Not fair. Read this. And written in this book, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. So there are two outings. Why two separations? Wait, what's happening here? Why two separations? Out of the book of life, case closed. No, two more. A beginning of the separation, a true final separation, there is city of God and there is temple of God. There are citizens of nation and there are citizens of holy nation. Now, when God tells us, I will separate the wheat and tares, does he stop there? He says one more thing that is more critical. You see, the Lord says, I separate my sheep and I separate that are not mine. He didn't stop there. He says, I separate the weeds from tares, I put my weeds in the barn. Correct? If he simply throw his sheep into the forest and just, I separated all my weeds, yes, my work is done. He won't go. He will put a fence. He will put a territory. He will build a wall around you. He will throw you into some house. No one can open. No matter how hard the multitudes of Sodom and Gomorrah try, they can't even touch the door. They'll be blinded. The plague came to kill the firstborn. The plague was blinded. You cannot see the house of Israel because the blood made the plague to be blinded. In the Garden of Gethsemane, God was praying. Our Lord was praying. In the Calvary, our Lord was carrying our sin and shame and iniquity. And Lord could not see, because if he see, when Jesus suffered all of this by clothing your iniquity, your shame, my shame, God has to forsake him. Amen? Now, when the Lord says, add, if the Lord calls Brother Joshua, be a builder, the Lord clothes him with builder with all the tools he's carrying, and when he's walking, he sees telescope. I always want to become a doctor. Let me take and put it in my bag. And when you go into the holy chamber, and the Lord would say, don't you know what happened to the sons of Aaron? What happened? I just burned them. Sorry, wait. You go and throw the telescope and you come inside. Correct? That circumcision, if you do it by yourself, it's less painful. If you do it, it is super painful. When you play in a forest, if some sharp thorn pierces your feet, you will cry, but you can't blame anyone. Because it is you, right? You will be very contented. And when you go and play in the forest, Sister Zoe tells me, Brother Prasi, put on some shoe. I tell that, it's okay. I go and run, you know, and then the thorn pierces. And I tell her, yeah, it's my mistake. Sorry, sister. Then, I tell her, we should bring the shoes to go and run in the forest. And, you know, then I tell her, you know what? I think you're right. Let's remove the shoes and we go. And we go and play in the forest. And there's a thorn pierce my feet, right? Both of us can blame each other. I told you. No, I told you. No, I told you. No. So the blaming game happens when someone comes and pierces your heart. But if you pierce yourself, it's okay. No, I should take responsibility. If you love a woman and marry herself, you will defend for your life. No choice, right? If the parents show the woman, your parents are gone. You will blame them all your life. I was so happy, so peaceful. You brought this woman in my life. My life, my parents. You destroyed my life. That's why God don't show woman after Garden of Eden, right? People speak about it. Every man, they had found their own woman. Through the parents, through the children of God. But God gave what you need. Now adding, removing, he called all of us to be very careful in our garment, correct? If Aaron removes one stone from that breastplate, there are only 11. God said, should be 12, man, 12. What about I remove 11, 10? I remove the 10, I have 9. 9 stones, it resembles someone. Anyone remembers? There was one more who had 9 stones on his breastplate. Who is that one? Please meditate. There was one more who had 9 stones on his chest. Now, adding, removing. Show you a good example we meditated a few months ago. Can you show the screen, sister? Anyone can read, everybody will stare at me. So on top, you look at the Jedidiah in English or Edidiah in Hebrew. Edidiah. And at the bottom, I put another name, Jedidiah or Edidiah. Correct? Both the names looks identical. Sounds identical. You pronounce it so similar. But my brethren, can you show the marker if it's possible? There is a small shape on top. this yod on top, the small shape on top. That is the only thing that has been added compared to the name on top and the name below. Correct? Can you look carefully? The first one is Eradiah, that is added. As you know, Hebrew letter, we read from the left to right. At the bottom is Adaida, Jereda, biblical Hebrew name. And that name was, that small dot was removed. But the first one represents the name of Solomon, the beloved of Yah. Amen? Yahweh. The second one is not the name of Solomon. Correct? The first one is the name of Solomon who built the temple of God. The last one is not the name of Solomon who built the temple of God. Even so, it was the name of a woman, the mother. So now, one single dot, adding, represents the king of Israel, removing, representing a woman who gave birth to another king. What? Yes, okay, we can say, but it's normal. Last week I showed pride, bride, world, it's all word game. Children can play. That's why God told all of us, convert to be like children. They know what they want. You can't confuse them, you can't cheat them. So, please stop it, sister. It's a very simple example. When the Lord says, in this scripture, in this book, don't add and also don't take it. Don't misinterpret my word to justify your life. That is exactly what God is speaking. The one who justifies his life by the scripture, by the word of God, he forgets the fact there is an advocate for me. He forgets the fact there is an interceder for me. He forgets the fact there is a judge for me. You are only called to defend your faith. No matter how many stones are thrown at you, stand firm like Stephen. But then the false doctrines enter, when sowing discord enters, when the wolves enter, God knows how to handle it. There are different clothing for that. But for all of us, my brethren, for all of us, holy chamber, this word is the last Sunday title. Do you know there is a verse called holy flock? Holy chamber, holy flock, is it? The pasture, the flock of my pasture are men. Praise the Lord. The flock of my sheep, my pasture, they are my sheep. The flock. Praise the Lord. The Lord calls in the book of Ezekiel, holy flock. Holy flock. How can we become the holy flock? Embracing the holiness of God is impossible if we are careless in our clothing, in what we carry in our hands. Amen. So may the Lord bless us as we continue to study the book of Ezekiel. We have a lot to be purged. We have a lot to be pruned. We have a lot to be cleansed. We have a lot to be encouraged. The Lord will see us through. Amen. Let the Lord have His way in our lives. And our ultimate goal is to fix our eyes on the Savior above and keep walking as we encourage, as we stand together for one another. Let's all stand as I close and pray. Our Lord, our God, our Savior, who led the people of Israel by the pillar of cloud, by the pillar of fire, who consecrated, separated the high priest Aaron and his sons, including Nadab and Abihu, who lost what was given to them. And the sons of Aaron, who lost what was given to them. But Lord, may you bless us not to lose our garment, not to lose, not to drop what you have given us, not to be deceived by our thoughts, our understanding, our weariness, our loathing, but Lord, but to be encouraged and edified by our clothing in thy word, that we are the children of God, and the Lord has given us the comfort and the power of Holy Ghost. Help all of us, Lord, to be a witness unto thee throughout the corners of the earth. That is our goal, Lord. Until then, O Lord, let there be no complacency, Lord. Let there be no complacency just because we are separated. But let there be consecration. Let there be sanctification. Let there be cleansing, purging, purification for the Holy Ghost to anoint us every single day. For we serve the anointed, Jesus Christ, the anointed, the only anointed. Anoint us, our Lord, with your Spirit. Teach us, Lord, to continue to walk with thee humbly, naked to the world, foolish to the world, wise to you, clothed to you in your Spirit, in your word. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.